what were the Hamilton Tiger Cats thinking this week? Probably they weren't thinking. But, you know, guys, the interesting thing about this entire story, in my mind, is that, and I've always said, and I know a mentor of mine, teacher of mine, always said, the why is very important in anything, Roger. And what he meant by that is, why don't you do things? You don't do things because they are, oh, it's politically incorrect to bring a guy who's got a thing in there, or you don't do it because it's the right thing to do. And I really wonder if the Hamilton Tiger Cats weren't sitting back, David, when they were even considering this hiring and doing it only, you know, because if right off the bat you should think, hey, we can't hire this guy, it's the right thing to do. No, first thing was, well, you know, that maybe that'll help us get Johnny Manziel and whatever they were putting together. You know what I mean? Is like, what is in your heart when you're thinking about these things? And then afterwards, they're contrite. But come on, how could you even consider
it? Yeah, my first thought was, how could anybody think this was a good idea? It really is mind-boggling. The Tiger Cat CEO, Scott Mitchell, was interviewed on this station after the story broke. And the things he said were pretty cringeworthy. I mean, in not so many words, he was basically blaming society, blaming the media for making this an issue. And what struck me the most was how out of touch he was. We have the clip on sportsnet.ca so our audience can take a full listen. So I don't want to take anything out of context, but just to use a quote from him, he said, "We felt Bryles deserved a second opportunity. And I think clearly that's unacceptable to society today. And that's unacceptable to the media that have taken on the issue." Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think tone deaf doesn't quite do justice to what is going on there. And it certainly seems like a case where a person just doesn't grasp the full weight of what went on. I mean, second chance is something you kind of mindlessly throw out there as a rationale for doing things. But you've got to, you know, when you really take a close look at everything that went on at Baylor, and you don't even have to take that close of a look. I mean, this, to come on and still kind of be, as you said, unrepentant about it, it's frightening, really. And I just feel like it has all the markings of someone really not understanding how serious the things that went on are and how serious they need to be treated. I mean, should have always been treated seriously, but especially today. A complete and utter, just completely out of touch, I think.
It is, you know, and I'll just play devil's advocate, but only to a little bit in this, because I agree. I think it was absolutely ridiculous. I think it's stupid. I don't know what, but I'll say this. Each individual case in a case like this has to be treated separately in my mind. And do I think, and I hope I'm not making any waves by saying this, but do I think that every single person who does something bad, however you want to phrase it, never gets a second chance? Well, I'll side with that. I think some people do deserve a second chance. But this particular guy, this particular incident, this particular hiring was completely stupid. And I don't know if Scott Mitchell's trying to, you know, say what I just said in an awkward way. And I hope I'm not by any stretch of the imagination condoning this, but there is a precedent now where somebody does something, and it's so, anybody who's ever in a legal thing should never play sports again, never be hired again. Each individual case, I think, has to be treated differently. This is a bad example of it. There are some other people, I guess, I could say that I would say, yes, you know what, they merit another opportunity. But the way that Baylor thing went down, the way they operated afterwards, their attitude was totally, and he should not work in sports again, is what I think. What do you think, David?
No, I agree. The gravity of that, just reading up on Baylor, it's tough to forgive. And it's, you see quotes all the time about it coming from, who was it? June Jones.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, the whole thing is just a mess.
Now let's take the bigger issue with this. And we look at sports in particular and how they handle it. And when you look at leagues and other, you know, organizations, whether they be team sports or individual sports, is what's acceptable, what's not. And it was a great example. I forget who was mentioning it, but it was on the station. And people were talking about boxing in particular and mixed martial arts and what athletes in those sports can get away with because they don't represent cities, Nobody hires them. You go into the ring. It doesn't make any difference. Maybe because the sport itself is so violent that violent acts are, you know, it was a great point in terms of yet in the context of professional sports. And then they rank the sports right at the top of the list is football. And I don't want to put the CFL with the NFL, but we've seen the NFL, which just, I don't want to say go as far as to say celebrates this kind of stuff, but think of some of the people who have been allowed to come back and continue careers either as a player or as a coach in the NFL. I just really wonder, what is it about football that seems to make it the sport where this is just, I don't know, is accepted the right word, Ryan?
Probably not, but, well, maybe. I was going to say, happy to turn a blind eye to. I mean, I guess that because the stakes are so high in football and it is a gajillion-dollar industry, I think we've clearly established at this point that we've got some mixed-up priorities here in the world and that people are far too quick to overlook something that, I mean, you know, we've things that have just run the gamut in terms of offenses by players who or executives who are welcomed back into the fold because someone thinks that they might be able to help a team squeeze out one or two more wins in a season. It's a larger, deeper issue. It's certainly not confined to just one sport, but no doubt. I mean, it just feels like throughout the football calendar, it's, you know, there's endless examples of players who have done things that you just feel like everything else should fade away because there's no other consideration than, hey, if this person, especially when it's like multiple offenses, you know, how many times do you want to give someone a pass on things? But listen, there are people out there who are, you know, frothing at the mouth, hoping for, you know, one more win, one more touchdown, whatever. I mean, how many Cubs fans were torn over Chapman's pass when he was out there trying to, save a game for them in the playoffs?
There's the example. Let's go with that one. Exactly. So why is he back playing then? Now, if Art Briles or whoever it is, whatever the case, and again, each, like I just said, each individual case has to be done and looked in its own entity. I get that. And then the Yankees training for him. Then a team takes it on. Like, never mind, like, you know, all right, look, he's an employee or whatever, and he's your guy, and whatever. And no, someone will go and they'll bring him in. And I remember when he was first brought into New York, the first question from reporters is, what are you doing bringing this guy in for? Mm-hmm. Well, he throws 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, and, you know, we're trying to win games, and doesn't everybody deserve a second chance? So where do we draw the line then? How do we do these things? Yet there's outrage. Nobody even talks about it anymore.
There's probably some distinction when you're talking about, I mean, clearly the types of things we're talking about with Chapman and, you know, numerous other young, you know, relatively young people are very black and white, and it's very clear where, should be very clear where, you know, the lines of right and wrong are. But I think in the case of Briles, when you're, you know, in a position where you're overseeing something and you're, you know, a 50-year-old man, I think to some degree, you're probably still held to higher standards. This is the kind of thing that, I mean, for right or wrong, if this is happening on your watch, then, you know, you're at the top of the charts.
Yeah. The him being a coach, too, of students as well, football coaches hold a lot of power in many people's lives. They control the destinies of a lot of younger people. I mean, that should be taken with more gravity than a single act from a baseball player, a single baseball player. I mean, I guess that's what it would equate to.
Okay, so then would you, in your minds, guys, then, so Art Briles aside, so Art Briles, do we agree then, should never work in sports again?
I don't think anyone's going to argue hard against it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we look at, and again, I don't want to start pulling out because each case, so where is the line drawn then on coaches as opposed to players? So a player can have what, a domestic abuse situation? Like, how do we draw it for an athlete? Because I've never known an athlete who has been banned from sports. Well, maybe there are one or two, but not coming to my mind because of something that happened off the field. usually, if the athlete is still in the prime of his career, we see at the NFL's had people have been charged with murder playing again, for heaven's sakes. Like, it never seems to end. Why that? And I get your point. You're responsible. You're a coach. You're an educator. It's more important. You can't be doing that. But why are we so forgiving of the athlete, though? Because generally speaking, we are. Let's face it, we are.
I mean, there's probably, again, something wrapped up in they are younger. Maybe there's some more allowance given for, you know, people in the earlier stages of their life. But, I think we can, you know, probably put a bow on this by saying we're all complicit in this. Everyone who flips on the game and doesn't care.
That's fair.
We talk about it for an hour after they get signed, and then we go, okay, how good's my team? I mean, everyone takes everyone to reorganize the priorities in their life and look at things that are truly important versus fun and you know, work from that basis. But as long as you're willing to go, well, what I really care about is whether they get the 2 points, you got a problem.
I think with the Ticat situation, the way it was resolved maybe offers a little bit of hope because the right thing was done and a change came very swiftly as well.
Sure.
I think 10 hours after the hiring was announced, it was reversed.
But here's why. It's because of public outcry. You see, this is where I go back to what I said. The why is important. Why was it reversed? They had no choice because of the public outcry. And your criticism of Scott Mitchell, which was very valid, going on trying to defend it, clearly the why in his mind still sides to, well, you know what? It's like a... it's society and the way people are. We want to give them a second chance. They're only apologizing because they have to. It's like somebody who says, I did not use steroids. They get caught and they go, oh, sorry, I used steroids.
At least he's
only doing it because you have to. They won't let you back in the league.
At least public outcry worked in this situation. Yeah.
No, that's
good
true.
For public outcry.
Yeah, that's true. That's one thing that teams, I guess, realize, guys, is that society, as Scott Mitchell said, isn't going to allow this kind of thing. That's the positive thing from my standpoint. But it's tough, and it's just, especially the CFL guys, which is tough enough. And like, you know, we're not going to talk a lot about the CFL because I'm just unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because I'm a fan of the league, the only way the Hamilton Tiger Cats are getting on their show is something like this today. Like, let's be honest about it. It just shows you where the league is at and just another situation for them. And man, I feel sorry from that standpoint. And maybe it's the lack of desperation from those guys. I would have loved to have been a camera, a fly on the wall when that decision was being made. I just would have loved to have said, okay, what are we going to do? Was there objection? Was there anybody in the organization standing up? Guys, we can't do this. Or was it just, well, you know, it should be okay? Or did they even look at it? See, that's what I mean by the why being important for them. And it's too bad for the CFL. It's the only time they get the headlines, and it's a real bad one. They just weren't thinking on that one.